Hey there, Pet Bros. This episode is brought to you by a brand that's close to our hearts and our furry friends' health, Farmina Pet Foods.
Straight from Italy, Farmina is a family affair, crafting over 260 ultra-premium kibble and canned foods for cats and dogs since 1965.
And they are obsessed with nutrition, creating foods that are not just meals, but nutritional solutions backed by hardcore science.
And their N&D range is something else. They've got 7 product lines like Ancestral Grain, Ocean, and even Pumpkin. Because who doesn't love pumpkin?
Let's not forget their latest tropical storm, N&D Tropical Selection, plus the color-coding geniuses of N&D Brown and N&D White.
N&D White's all about keeping those light coats bright without the chemicals, and N&D Brown, it's the secret to a vibrant, fade-resistant, dark coat.
Discover Farmina's amazing range and their partner support program at booth 861 at Global Pet Expo.
Or jump online to www.farmina.com and get your paws on their products.
Attention, independent pet pros. Let me introduce you to the Pet Shop Girls, presented by Pet Product News.
Hey, everybody. I'm Sherry.
And I'm Carly.
Good day, my fellow pet industry professionals, and welcome to the Pet Shop Girls podcast. In the world of pet care, where every handshake and every shared story at the dog park weaves the fabric of our community, there's a digital revolution happening. It's a place where connections are made not only through leashes and treats, but through the click of a button, the swipe of a screen. Yet as we stand at the crossroads of tradition and innovation, we find that not everyone is eager to embark on this journey through the digital expanse. So today, we're going to talk about social media, or your anti-social media.
Your anti-social media. I say that because I want all of our listeners to think back to a time before social media existed. And I can hear the sighs of relief from many pet pros out there going, oh, thank God. It's such a time suck. And it cost me so much of my own time just to try to get stuff out there and nobody's engaging. But then there's a whole other group of pet pros going, oh my God, like, how would I run my business if I didn't have social media? And there's a whole group of you in the middle. There's a whole group that are like, yeah, okay, I got to do it and I don't mind it, but somebody else could take this off my plate. That would be great. I know that it seems as though you put a lot of time and there's a very small ROI coming back for your social media efforts. The point or the importance of social media today is if you think back to the days before social media, advertising or promoting your business or generating awareness that you even existed was a very expensive endeavor, right? You had to do it on TV, or you had to do it on print, or you had to do it on radio. And those aren't cheap. They're still not cheap today.
Let me jump in. I did a lot of print media because when I opened my store, it was 2006, and Facebook was still just for college kids. Mm-hmm. Like, people weren't on it, just college kids. So we relied on word of mouth and what little print advertising we could afford.
Yep.
But now it's completely different.
Yep.
And if you don't change your mindset about it and get on board, then you're going to be left in the dust, mm-hmm. is pretty much what we're going to cover here.
It, you know what, and I know that there are still business owners in my city that I talk to on a regular basis who they've had their business for 30 years, not necessarily pet, in all industries. They've had their business for 30 years, and 30 years ago, they beat the pavement, and it was their own blood, sweat, and tears that they used to get the word out that they existed. And today, they're like, I don't need social media. I built this without social media. I think part of the problem with that mindset is that 80% of the decision to buy today, 80% of the decision to buy is made prior to me walking through your doors. I have, as a consumer, the consumer has access to information at their fingertips. It is up to us to craft the stories that those consumers find. Before, when you were talking about, Sherry, word of mouth, and you had to rely on your customers to tell a really good story about Odyssey Pets. Today, you can help craft that story about what potential customers or existing customers know and learn about Odyssey Pets. You have the ability to help craft that story. If we look at the fact that 80% of the buying decision has already been made before they walk through your store, through your door, if they can't find anything online, they're going to make that 80% of their decision on somebody who is online. And that's your website, that's your social media, that's the electronic formats or avenues that we have at our fingertips today, which, don't forget, is perfectly free, totally free. You can pay for ads on social media, but you don't have to, and you still have a presence out there. There is no way that I'm going to have a presence on TV or a presence in the newspaper or a presence on the radio without doing something spectacular to get myself on the news, or I got to pay for it, right? But social media is different. I can craft that story for free.
So I want to jump in there and say, I've gone to some businesses' social media sites, like their Facebook or Instagram, and yes, they may have one, but they haven't posted on it in months. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, is this business still open? Happening? Yeah, are they still open? Participating in social media on a regular basis and putting effort into it will keep you relevant. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Relevance is a big thing.
It is huge.
Yeah.
So when I used to teach social media to other entrepreneurs through my other business, which was my 5-Drive training, and that's where I developed training, I was asked to come out and train a group of entrepreneurs on social media. And I will be the first to admit right now, in order to build this course, I had to teach myself social media because at that time I was an anti-social media. I thought I would die without ever having a Facebook account. And so I had to go and I had to learn all of the things about social media. And I set up the different accounts and I started looking at all the kind of recommended best practices for all of these different social platforms because they are different. I'm going to date myself now, obviously, because what is it? X? It's called X now. It used to be Twitter.
Okay. Yeah.
So back in the day, and it always makes you sound old when you say that, but back in the day, I used to describe Twitter as that all-you-can-eat buffet. And that was the analogy that I used to describe Twitter. It was that all-you-can-eat buffet. You go onto Twitter and you're just bombarded with post, all these tweets, right? Facebook was like your family dinner. And so the way that I would describe, a lot of people say, what the heck do I even post on Facebook? Nobody engages with my stuff. I'm not getting any interaction. Here's the whole thing. This is my suspicion with regards to why engagement is so low on social platforms now. These social platforms and the algorithms of the social platforms are getting smarter and smarter and smarter. Every time we engage with anything, that platform shows us more of what we just engaged with, whether we want to see it or not. We might have just engaged with our friend's business to just like show them some support. I like to post on like fruitcakes or something, and I don't like fruitcakes, but my friend makes fruitcakes and that's their business. And now all of a sudden I'm getting fruitcakes, bombarded by fruitcakes. I think that the reason engagement has gone down is because I was trying to think of a really gross dessert, Sherry. That's why.
I know, it's a good one.
And I didn't know how to say like date squares or something. But anyways, so me personally, the approach that I'm now taking on social media is I'm not liking everything that I actually like because I don't want the algorithm to dictate what I see. But I do see the posts. I see the posts, and so do your customers. Even when you're thinking nobody's engaging with my stuff, they're still seeing it. And so what I used to say about, what do you post on Facebook? Think about your family dinner. What do you talk about when you sit down for family dinner? You talk about vacations. You talk about what activities the kids are doing. You talk about current events, but you don't try to sit down at your family dinner and sell. You're not sitting there across from mom and dad going, hey, I got this great stuff you should buy.
you're building relationships.
100%. Right. And again, we can take Twitter out of the equation, but it did make sense in this whole analogy situation that I was trying to establish. Instagram, I looked at that as that was that fancy cocktail party, right? Because Instagram was all about pictures.
That's so me, because Instagram is my favorite and I do love a fancy cocktail party.
Of course you do. So, and Instagram is like that, right? So it's all about who looks best in their evening gown and who looks best in their tuxedo. And that's the way that you can separate that. Now, let's take Twitter out of the mix, because nobody's using Twitter. I guess some people are. There are some, I shouldn't say that. In a group of entrepreneurs that I have, one of them is, it's like a Cabela's. Or what do you guys have?
Cabela's?
Do you call it Cabela's? What?
Cabela's?
The hunting store.
Yeah, it's Cabela's.
In your world, it is. It's Cabela's here.
I'm from Texas. It's Cabela's.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Anyways, apparently if you are selling hunting gear, guns, bullets, that kind of stuff, Facebook and Instagram doesn't like that. And they don't allow you to post that kind of stuff. But Twitter or X still allows you to post that kind of stuff. So in the pet space, I don't think that we're going to run into a whole lot of that. I don't think that Facebook has removed some of my products from my Facebook store because it claims I'm selling animals. I'm not selling beef. I'm selling a beef-based kibble. But
I think on this subject, the only thing I've been censored on is CBD.
And I think that's a little bit different in the States and Canada. Now, we did also, though, we rather than referring to it as CBD, we just changed the name to hemp. And that's in Canada, that's okay. But we need to also add into the mix now, we've got TikTok. And TikTok, very new, different type of social platform than what we're used to. The number one thing, though, that you have to remember about your social media efforts is you want to be where your customers are. I am not going to sit there and spend all my time tweeting about pet food on X, because even though dog owners and cat owners are probably there, I have a much better reach going through the Facebook, the Instagram, and the TikToks.
So Carly, let me jump in here say, especially a store just starting out, social media can be overwhelming. It's almost a full-time job, right? What are some strategy tips we could share with our listeners?
So I think one thing that I do in my store is I'm responsible for our feeds on Facebook and Instagram. And I do the majority of our TikToks now. But part of the role in my store, whoever is working for the day, is responsible for posting a minimum of 3 stories on our Instagram, which also then populates on our Facebook page. So there are also tools out there that you can use. I should back up. I have a store cell phone. That's what we like. And we have since day one. We've never had a landline. And I did that because I thought for the generation that is all about, I want to text and FaceTime, then we have the capabilities. And for the generation that's no, I just want to call and talk to a human over the phone, we have that ability with a cell phone. So that cell phone is connected, obviously, to my business Instagram account. And that's where my team just goes in. They're in the store every day anyways, right? So they can take pictures of the products, or they can take pictures of the dog who had a birthday today, or they can take pictures of whatever in my store, and they can post those stories. So that is part of the responsibilities for who is ever working in that day. Minimum 3 stories. So you can take some of the workload off that way. When you do have time, and this was something, again, I should dig this up. I called it social media time on a dime is what I called it, because business owners are busy. And I made up this little postcard that said, if you've got 5 minutes, here's all the different things that you can do that are applicable to social media. If you got 15 minutes, here's all the things that you can do. If you got an hour, here's all the things that you can do. So a lot of people ask me, like, how the heck do you have time to do all this on your social media? And my answer, it's not an easy one, but my answer is truthful. You need to make it a priority. it's got to be a priority. And it has to, for me, I think about, we opened in 2019 and I feel like I built a good chunk of my business from having social media. Because
for sure.
Yeah.
You're TikTok famous. I look at it like this too. Would you rather spend $5,000 on a billboard that may or may not work, or spend 30 minutes a day on your social media and get more return?
Yep. And if it doesn't work, who cares? It was 30 minutes, not $5,000.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Like last year I decided, okay, I'm going to branch out. Like I've done, I always advertise on Facebook. I should say I always regularly post Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, my social media, or pardon me, my customer email, my blog. I always do those things. But I thought I'm going to, and then I do advertise as well. So I'm always posting, but I also advertise at a fraction of the cost.
Exactly. Because I do want to say Facebook is pay to play. It's turned into, yes, to get it in front of people's faces, the algorithms have changed so much from what I understand that you really got to pay for it to get in people's feeds. Whereas TikTok's a little different.
TikTok is different. We can chat about that too. I would say I would say fairly decent organic engagement on Facebook. But what I've noticed since I've really put my efforts into TikTok, and then I repurpose my TikToks as Instagram reels, my Instagram following has significantly increased. And I'm getting a lot more engagement on Instagram than I am on Facebook. Now, Facebook's average engagement is 1.6%. So if you have 100 people that are following your page, you can expect 1.6 or less than 2 people to engage with your Facebook content. If you've got more than that.
That sucks. That's why I call it pay to play.
It does suck. However, again, consider yourself, you're laying that foundation. If I heard about Odyssey somewhere, okay, I got a gift card or something. I looked up your website and I'm like, oh, this place looks cool. I go to look at your Facebook and I see that you haven't posted since April of 2021. I'm going to be like, is this place even open? Mm-hmm. Did I just get a gift card that I can't even use? We want to consider two things. We want to consider the live audience that is consuming the content when we put it out there. And then we also want to consider the audience that may be coming along to consume the content because they heard about you through word of mouth, or you've got a commercial or a radio or a newsprint or whatever. And now they start to do their own investigation because remember, 80% of their buying decision has been made before they even walk through your doors. So you're appealing to two different audiences, those that are consuming live, follow you all the time, know what you do, and those that just stumbled upon you. I think that's important. I do advertise on Facebook to try to reach people outside of my following. And that's who I'm trying. When I advertise, I'm saying advertise 10 or 20 miles around my city, in my city and around my city, to try to appeal to people who have never heard of me before. The difference between like a Facebook and Instagram versus a TikTok is Facebook and Instagram, I have to be following you to see you. And then that doesn't even guarantee that I will see you, but I do have to be following you in order to see your stuff, or somebody that I'm friends with or connected with shares your stuff and I see it that way. TikTok is a little bit different in the sense that it shows you to people who have engaged with stuff you've put out. So I'm constantly putting stuff out about dog and cat health. And so anybody on TikTok who is engaged with other content around dog and cat health, eventually they're probably going to see me in their feed because TikTok's, oh, Sherry likes to know about feeding dogs bone broth, or Sherry likes to know about raw feeding. And she's engaged with other content creators who have put out stuff like that. Carly puts that stuff out. Let's show her Carly stuff. Maybe she'll like that too. Because all they want to do is keep you on the platform. That's the objective of every single platform out there, is to keep people on the platform.
It's an evil mistress.
But it's a necessary evil mystery. It is that free Now, I think we've talked about this before. I know that I say it all the time. Your social platforms are rented space. Your email list is owned property, because Zuckerberg can pull the pin on us at any time. And then we don't have access to Facebook or Instagram. And maybe they shut down TikTok because of whatever. Zuckerberg wins that war too. And then you got no TikTok. You cannot rely on social media for the only communication with your customer, but it is an important piece of your communication strategy. The email address, though, the email list is what is most important in your business.
For sure. And we could do a whole podcast just on emails. But with our time running short, I wanted to give our listeners some specific like content strategies they could use, especially if they're just starting out or say they don't post regularly. Like a couple things that I do is like I'll repost reviews that have come in, and I'll do that two or three times a month, and I'll make a nice graphic for that. I also, since I offer grooming, I'll do before and after pictures of grooms. And I'll do that two or three times. And sometimes I'll call it Transformation Tuesday.
Yep.
You could also do, and I don't do this one, but I've seen other places do it, Tongue Out Tuesday. So they get pictures of the dogs with their tongues out, and they'll post that every Tuesday. So you can start filling in your calendar with things like this. And then the holidays, you can promote your events. And then what Carly's really good at is educational content. But if you start getting some of those regular things in there that you can easily just post, like a Transformation Tuesday or a Tongue Out Tuesday, that'll help you get started.
I wanted to make sure that we talked about this too, because I think that there's a lot of pet pros out there who are probably like, listen, I maybe want to do more stuff on social media, but I'm afraid of what happens if the trolls come out. What happens if people leave bad comments or negative remarks or something that isn't favorable for you or your business?
But that means you made it. That means that you're popular, but you can also delete the comment.
100%. It does mean that you are getting eyeballs on your business that maybe are not friendlies, because there's friendlies that we have out there. But if everybody is just loving on your stuff and it's only your mom and your cousin, and now you have a troll that comes out and says, what do you mean dogs eat raw meat? You're crazy, lady. Guess what? You just got in front of somebody who may not be a customer, but what that tells you is you're getting in front of more eyeballs. And that's a good thing.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah. I also think though too, it's very important. Very much just like reviews, and we'll do a podcast specifically related to reviews that you get on Google or Facebook. But how you respond to the trolls tells the guys who come behind the trolls, tells them a lot about your business. The guy who says, you're crazy, lady, dogs can't eat raw meat. And you jump in there and you're like, of course they can, you idiot. They've been eating raw meat for decades and centuries. And no, thank you for the feedback. It's very interesting that you think that. Here's why we believe this, or however you want to position that. Again, you're the expert. You wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't true. But you're the troll, though he might continue to re-engage, you're really responding for the guys that are coming after him and see, oh, geez, I didn't know that, because I thought dogs couldn't eat raw meat too.
It's an educational opportunity.
100% it is. There's other, like when Sherry was talking about, like, what is that strategy, or how can we get content out there when you think, oh my goodness, how can I, like there, I just can't come up with that much stuff. There's so many things that you can do. Every time you bring in a new product, you can do a new product announcement. When you're hosting your events, you can absolutely promote your events. You can do behind the scenes at your store. That's like the backstage access. Everybody who comes into your store, that's the main show. But when you take them behind the scenes to show how you're doing it, that's backstage access. I feel special when I get to see how you do things. You can do educational posts. Pick up on trending pet news and topics that are out there, whatever that might be, even if it is a little bit on the controversial side, just manage the spin that you put on. You could provide training advice. You could provide grooming advice. You can provide nutrition advice, and you're still educating. I always say to people when it comes to social media, you want to maintain that 80-20 makeup. Okay. So for every 5 posts that you put out there, 4 of them have got to be some sort of value that you are giving to your audience.
And not just sell.
No. If you're out there, again, especially if you're posting on Facebook, think about that family dinner. You don't sit down and, hey, grandma, I've got a deal for you. And hey, dad, why don't you buy this stuff? And hey, brother, you're not selling at your family dinner. You're talking about current events. You're talking about vacations. You're talking about, hey, did you know, I just heard this really cool tip. You're talking about things that where you're building that relationship. So keep your social and your weekly emails to an 80-20 format where 80% of the content that you put out there is valuable give, and 20% or 1 out of every 5 says, hey, by the way, I also sell stuff if you care.
So I want to jump in here too and say, look, I know this can be really overwhelming, and it was overwhelming to me when I realized I got a post on 3 or 4 different platforms every single day, multiple times, and then you just shut down and you don't do anything. So I wanted to say this, start small. If you're not used to doing this on the level that Carly does, at least. And I think my social media is okay, but Carly's is even better. But start small and concentrate on 1 or 2 platforms is what I'm trying to say here. So TikTok is a beast, because for me, at least, it takes a lot more time to create a TikTok. So I put a lot of effort into my Instagram. I'm more comfortable with it. And you can dual post onto Facebook too. So I concentrate there. And I like to use that as my platform. But again, if you're just starting out, concentrate on 1 or 2 platforms and then build from there.
And repurpose as much as you can. And BT dubs, my pet pro friends, if you are like Miss Sherry and you are more comfortable on Instagram, you already know that the platforms don't like to see the other platform's logo on their platform. That probably made no sense. Let me explain. If I create something in TikTok, when I post it, it gets the TikTok watermark logo. And if I then go and post that onto Instagram, Instagram is like, bad, Carly. We don't want to see TikTok stuff here because we are not TikTok. TikTok is the same. If I post something on Instagram and I download it, it's watermarked with the Instagram logo. And then I try to post that on TikTok. TikTok is the same. They're like, get out of here with your Instagram nonsense. So on TikTok, when I create a video prior to posting it, I save it as a clean copy that doesn't have the TikTok watermark so that I can repurpose that on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or wherever I choose. On Instagram, because they don't give you the save option, what you can do through Canva is connect your Instagram account to Canva and then go in and pull up all your reels, and you can download it clean without the Instagram logo.
Stop.
It is a true story.
Canva is That's crazy.
Canva is wonderful. Here's the thing, you guys. I think one of the biggest tips that you need to take away, especially if you're just getting started, or even if you are already in the trenches of the social media world that we live in, consistency is key. So if you decide, okay, I think I can commit to 2 posts a week, do your 2 posts a week, but stay consistent. And then as time goes by and you're like, okay, I'm getting the hang of this, I think I could do 3 posts a week, then do 3 and stay consistent. Time is not as important as everybody makes it out to be, like the time that you post. When you're going to see all these social media experts out there, ooh, look at your metrics and find out when your social media platform is most busy, blah, blah, blah. It really depends on the platform. And when we're talking TikTok, time is irrelevant. Because if I post something at 8 p.m. my time, depending upon where my followers are, they might still be sleeping or they might be in bed because it's the middle of the night where they are. But when they wake up, they all of a sudden see my stuff. So consistency is key. Don't worry about time. It does definitely make it easier if you go, okay, I'm going to post every day at, or I'm going to post two times a week at 7 a.m. And then you know, right? Oh crap, I missed my posting time, not your time, but I missed my post. I got to get my post out there. So it's just for your own organization in your head. Maybe it makes it easier to have a time, but time isn't as important. Consistency is key though.
Social media in general, we could talk for hours on it, but we just wanted to cover that we've noticed some people aren't doing it consistently. And you need to try to get into the groove of it, start small and build, stay consistent. Social media isn't just for certain types of businesses. It's for all businesses. And don't get left in the dust.
And not only, but like to add on to that, Sherry, not only is it for all businesses, but all generations are on all the different platforms. So your customer is there. When we look at Facebook, that is more like the biggest growing demographic on Facebook is boomers. Boomers have dogs, you guys. Boomers have replaced their children with dogs and they've got this disposable income that they want to spend on their pets because that is their new children. So if you want to reach boomers, you want to go on Facebook. Gen X and millennials, they spend the most time on Instagram stories. So if you want to reach that demographic, you've got to be active on your stories. To be perfectly honest, though I do post daily on my Instagram feed, I already know, hands down, my reels and my stories get far more interaction. If you're like, okay, fine, I'll do something. Focus on your feed, pardon me, your reels and or stories on Instagram, because that's where they're getting the most play. And then TikTok, it is not just kids doing goofy dances, you guys. 40% of TikTok users, and TikTok has 1 billion users, and it's growing every day. It's the fastest growing platform out there. But 40% of those TikTok users make $100,000 a year or more for a salary. Your customer is on TikTok. So pick a platform. Like Sherry said, start slow, but do start. If you're already out there, but you're like, oh man, it's dusty. Like I haven't touched my social media in a long time. Figure it out. If it's one post a week, just to keep you consistent, to keep you relevant, it is part of your communication strategy with your customers, and it is free. And it is a tool that every pet pro should be using. Every business.
For sure. Okay. I think that's going to do us for this week. Thanks for listening, you guys.
She's trying to wrap me up, you guys. She's got the cane around my neck. She's dragging me off the stage. All right, you guys. Stay social. Don't let your antisocial be showing. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. That's it for this episode, Pet Pro.
Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe.
Just hit all the buttons.
So you never miss the podcast that makes you sit, stay, and beg for more.
The Pet Shop Girls.
We'll just do the first paragraph. How about that?
Okay, we're going to try this again. The first paragraph. How many paragraphs were you reading?
There's 5.
Oh my God. No. 30 seconds max.